Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for about 30 years here in this neck of the woods. And but we also want to welcome our listeners over in the Atlanta area through our partners at WAEC, Love 860 AM. By the way, they also broadcast on iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio, Love 860, if you want to listen to this online. And then also our new friends in New Jersey and Philadelphia through our new partners at WTMR 800 AM. And what a joy it is just to come together with my brothers and sisters, to sit at the feet of the Lord and gaze into His eyes and let Him speak to us heart to heart. And today, as we continue our journey in discovering so many incredible portraits of God throughout the scriptures, there's a portrait that's emerged in my heart and mind out of Matthew 26 and 2 Corinthians 1 that I'm calling our garden comforter. He is our garden comforter. Oh, it's a marvelous portrait. Can't wait to unpack it for you. So, as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I'm just so grateful for the privilege it is to come together with my brothers and sisters to just do the best I can to provide some wonderful portraits of who You are and what You're like. Father, I pray that today as we take a journey through Matthew 26 and 2 Corinthians 1, that this idea of You as our garden comforter will be something we can hang on to, especially during this COVID era with so much confusion and disagreement and so many political things going on and so many natural disasters taking place. I mean, so much. Oh, we need You, Lord, as our garden comforter. So as we walk together this morning, through these passages, may You unpack for us in our hearts and in our minds how You indeed are our garden comforter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, my friend, if you have your Bibles, let me start you off in Matthew chapter 26, verse 36, with Jesus coming to a place called Gethsemane. We're going to look at how He went before His Father in His hour of need and how the Father was His comforter. But then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that talks about how the Lord is our Father of mercies and God of all comforter, God of all comfort. And there's five takeaways that I want to share with you here in a few minutes. But here are the key themes to be watching for as we go through the passage. Both passages, actually. Number one, God is not blind to our suffering. Yeah, that's good to know. I think we all pretty much know that. But here's what sometimes we forget. God is right there in our suffering. He never leaves us or forsakes. He is right there in our suffering. Sometimes we can feel like if we're suffering, God has gone away or He's not there or He's not watching. No, no. God is right there in our suffering. And then here's the third thing. God's comfort is always available. So that's the overarching truth, the key themes to be watching for as we go along, as we take a good look at how the Lord is our garden comforter. Matthew 26, verse 36, the Bible tells us this. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to His disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." Now, let me stop for a moment. Obviously, this is after the Lord spent a great bit of time with them at the Last Supper. A lot of marvelous themes were unpacked there for the disciples from the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we come to this time where it's time for Him to go to Gethsemane. We're going to see why. Verse 37. He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Now, this is the Lord Jesus we're talking about. He was grieved and distressed. And here's verse 38. Then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. This is astounding to me. This is Jesus being real with his disciples. This is not some uppity Pharisee or rabbi trying to pretend he's always got his act together and that he's totally under control. He says, no, no, no. My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. I just want to die in this. I'm losing it, is what he's saying. Listen, hang on to that. That's a great comfort to me right there, that Jesus can be that real and experience things in his soul that deeply. That means we're not puny Christians when we're feeling that way, my friend. If this COVID era and this political mishmash that we're dealing with all the time, I mean, if the social discourse that we're dealing with is harsh and we're just feeling bombarded and overwhelmed and deeply grieved and distressed, listen, it's okay. God understands. Jesus felt that way sometimes. Verse 39, and he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Oh, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. Oh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the passage goes on to tell us that two more times he would go and fall on his face in the garden before the Father, pouring out his heart and soul, confessing, admitting, sharing, venting, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. It's okay, my friend. It's okay. Because he found the Father, the garden comforter, when he was there. So let me start sharing with you the five takeaways that I get as I walk through this passage with the Lord, seeing how he is our garden comforter. Number one, God, our garden comforter, hears our grief and distress. He hears our grief and distress. We saw it right here when Jesus went, fell on his face, and said that to the Lord. Even Jesus had this grief, this distress. Even Jesus had to vent it. And he certainly was not a weenie Christian by any stretch of the imagination. He was a God-man. We have emotions, my friend, and they're deep. And in our culture, we're taught this kind of a macho myth, not just to men, but a lot of women these days have bought into it, that you don't show weakness. Big boys don't cry. Big girls don't cry. Or, as Tom Hanks immortalized in a film called A League of Their Own about the Women's Professional Baseball League back during World War II. There's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball. You know, I can remember that vividly, by the way. I remember when I was a little league way, way, way back. And they teach you, if you get hit by a pitch at the plate, you don't show that you're hurt. Flick the bat, you trot on to first, play ball. You don't want to give the pitcher or the other team the satisfaction of knowing that you're hurting. And so we grow up with that ethic in baseball, but not just in baseball, but in life. We're taught, when you get hurt, don't show it. Don't show weakness. Don't admit it. Be strong. Press on. Deal with it. Mount up. Put your boots on. Lock and load. Keep going. Put the pedal to the metal. But Jesus didn't do that, my friend. Because the fact of the matter is, we do have grief, pain, woundedness. We do feel betrayal. And there are times we just have to vent it. We go to the garden like Jesus And we vent it before the Lord. Job, almost the entire book is Job venting before the Lord. That is a good thing, not a bad thing. But the Father was right there. He hears our grief and distress, my friend. And he has a heart of compassion. He is a God of all comfort, as we'll see in a bit. But Jesus certainly began to experience it here. God, our garden comforter, hears our grief and distress. But secondly, he sees our weakened flesh. He sees our weakened flesh. You know, I love this when Jesus is coming to touch base with the disciples in verse 40, and he found them sleeping and said to Peter, "You guys couldn't keep up with me? You couldn't keep watch with me for an hour? Well, keep watching and praying that you may not enter. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." You know, the Lord sees our weakened flesh. The fact of the matter is that physical ailment, fatigue, pain often comes from emotional fatigue, stress, and pain. I mean, there's going to be a physical impact. Now, this is kind of a chicken and the egg argument. You know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Now, what comes first? You know, does a physical infirmity come, and then it causes us to be down in spirit, discouraged at our fight? Or, no, you get down and discouraged and distressed, and that causes a physical. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter where you start. It's a both end, and it's a circular thing, and they keep feeding on each other. The Lord sees our weakened flesh, and that gives me actually great comfort, because it's okay for these things to happen. You know, when I get stressed out, my body will give me signals of that. It's kind of like the oil pressure light on your car. You want it to work. You want it to flash or turn on and stay red when there's something wrong with your oil pressure. You need oil, because if you keep driving the car without it, it's going to really ruin it. When I get mouth ulcers, for me, it's the manifestation that I'm under too much emotional stress and I need to back off. I need to get to the garden. I need to fall before the Lord and just vent. The physical impact of stress can manifest itself in mouth ulcers. Like I said, for me, others, they get migraine headaches, backaches, itchiness, you know, all kinds of physical manifestations. And that's just God's mercy to give us this alert system in our physical bodies that something deeper is going on that needs to be dealt with. In our hearts, the flesh and the spirit, it's a both and, not an either or, and they need to be in sync. And they are in sync in the sense that when one is awry, the other gets awry. But when they're both fresh and are new and strong, then the other tends to be as well. And a marvelous thing. And I just love how the Lord is real with us in the passage, and he highlights that. In this case, the Spirit was willing for them to kind of keep up and keep praying, but oh, the fatigue or the whatever they were dealing with made them fall asleep in the midst of their prayer vigil. Yeah, I got to admit, that's happened to me. Been in a prayer time early in the morning, late at night, and then I drift off. But you know what? I think that's okay. I think the Lord just smiles because he knows the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I take great comfort in that. Oh, he is our garden comforter, who not only hears our grief and distress, and number two, sees our weakened flesh, but number three, he heals our affliction and suffering. He heals our affliction and suffering. I'm going to take you out of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If you have your Bibles and want to flip over there, it'd be great. We're going to look at verses 3 through 7 to carry on this theme of the Lord as our garden comforter. Now, we're already in the garden because Jesus was there. And by the way, I think I mentioned this last week as well in the 23rd Psalm, how he makes us lie down in green pastures and leads us beside still waters. A garden, an outdoor garden, a natural garden in that sense. Sometimes you just need to get outside and get in nature, God's creation, and just breathe and vent and cry and even yell or scream if you need to. Just get it out, my friend. God can handle it. Our garden comforter is there for you, a safe place to let things come out. And isn't it true that there's sometimes we're feeling stuff and we're not even exactly sure why. And the reality is it's probably accumulation of things from years and years that have been undealt with that comes to a head and gets triggered. But God is so gracious, He unfolds the reality of what's causing our distress and our grief incrementally so that we're not overwhelmed. I just love that about the Lord. And what is He doing in the garden with us? Well, that's where we pick it up in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Oh, understand that. He's the Father of mercies. Sometimes we only think of God the Father as, you know, the judging God, the one who's going to judge us at the end of the age, kind of like He's got a scowl on His face, just waiting for us to mess up. No, no, no. He's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort for His own. Verse 4, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So this is actually number 3 and 4 on our list of 5. Number 3, as I mentioned a moment ago, God, our garden comforter, heals our affliction and suffering. How does He heal us? You know, physical healing is just one way the Lord chooses to heal us on occasion. Sometimes He chooses to do a deeper healing than physical, and He does it in our hearts, in our spirits. He heals our affliction and suffering with His comfort. When you get that unmistakable sense that when you are afflicted, either physically or emotionally or mentally, and suffering physically, emotionally, or mentally, and you go to the Lord, you go to the garden, you fall at His feet, and He picks you up and He holds you tightly into His arms and comforts you and lets you just whimper, cry into His chest, and He holds you all the closer. My friend, that is the God of all comfort. That is our Father of mercies. That is His healing at work at the dimension of our souls, which sometimes will translate to healing physically, but not always. But even in the midst of physical ailment, you can be spiritually and emotionally very healthy to the degree you receive the Lord's continual and constant love and comfort. He's always there, available to comfort you, no matter what you're struggling with, no matter what kind of distress or grief or weakness in flesh or spirit you're dealing with. He is right there. He's holding you close. You are not alone. And that in itself, again, brings great, great healing. I just finished up a tremendous book. It's called Gentle and Lowly. It's referring to how Jesus described His own heart in the passage that tells us, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly, or gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's the kind of heart of the Lord Jesus. And when we're dealing with the affliction and the suffering of maybe it's some serious sin that we may be in bondage to, or it may be regrets from past sins and failures and that type of a thing, and we're wrestling with it. Oh, my friend, come to Jesus. 2 steps. Number one, come to Jesus. And this writer says, number one, come to Jesus. And then number two, refer to number one. I just love that. Come to Jesus. Why? Because He's our garden comforter. He hears our grief and distress. He sees our weakened flesh. He heals our affliction and suffering with His comfort, with the deepest kinds of healing of the heart and soul that will often translate into physical, but not always. But don't let that discourage you, because again, He's far more interested in your spiritual and emotional health. And He'll sometimes use the physical distress as those oil pressure lights to signal to you that there's still more to deal with, and that's His mercy. He's not holding out on you. Isn't that good to know? I love that. Well, the passage doesn't end there because, as I mentioned a moment ago here in verse 4, that the God of all comfort comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So here's number 4 about our garden comforter. He gives us his comfort to share. That's number 4. Our garden comforter gives us his comfort to share. Listen, he does indeed heal us with his comfort. And the more we receive his comfort, his love, his joy, the more we have in our reservoir to share with others. But if we struggle to receive the reality and the experience of his comfort and his love and his grace and his mercy and his joy, then we don't have much in our reservoir to share with others. And let me ask you a question. It's kind of a hard question. How do you reflexively respond to people when they're hurting, when they're struggling? Maybe they're being aggravating or offensive to you. Do you tend to recoil and draw back and write them off? Oh, my friend, no. They need comfort as much as everybody else, if not more so. But if our reservoir is not filled up, if it's not even halfway, if we barely have anything at the bottom of the jug, then we're reflexively not going to be responding to people with God's comfort, are we? Oh, my friend, as the Lord begins to open your eyes to things that you have been burying because you were told that there's no crying in baseball, you don't admit weakness, so you've been stuffing it, thinking you've resolved it, but it's there, let him bring it out. Will it be painful? Yeah. Kind of like surgery. But it's a good kind of surgery that results in healing. He gives us his comfort to share. When you receive that kind of healing by going to him and being honest, it builds up within you. And he, through us, is able to comfort others. So, God, our garden comforter, not only, number 1, hears our grief and distress, and number 2, sees our weakened flesh. Number 3, heals our afflictions and suffering. Number 4, gives us his comfort to share. But here's an extraordinary truth. God, our garden comforter, number 5, shares our suffering and comfort. He's not above it. He's been through it. Let's look at it together in verse 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. And if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And now listen to this, verse 7. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. The sufferings of Christ, he shares the sufferings with us. He is no stranger to our suffering. He's not above it all. He totally understands. And he sees you sharing in the same kind of suffering, and his heart goes out to you because he understands and he loves you. I want to close with this. There was a little boy who went with his dad out to a farm on the outskirts of town following an ad for a little puppy. They wanted a puppy, and this farmer out there had a litter that he was offering for sale to those who wanted to come by. So off they go, and there outside the farmhouse was a little pen set up, and there were all these brand new little puppies there just scurrying around, and the little boy began circling the pen as the dad and the farmer were talking together, waiting for the boy to make a decision. Well, there was this one little bitty runt guy, kind of limped a little bit, smaller than the rest, who was kind of hiding more in the corner while the others were running around having a wonderful time. And the little boy said, excuse me, sir, but may I have that one And he pointed to the little guy. And the farmer said, oh, son, you don't want that one. That's a run of the litter. He's probably not going to last too long anyway. He's not going to be able to run and play with you on the hillsides or anything like that. Why don't you pick one of the other ones? And the little boy said, well, sir, you see, and he sat down on the ground and he rolled up his jeans leg on the left side to reveal a leg brace. And the boy said, you see, sir, I think he's going to need somebody who understands him. I love that. When we recognize that we have leg braces, metaphorically speaking, in our hearts and our souls, we've had our share of sufferings, challenges, and we've gone to the Lord to get comfort for it, and he says he's had his share of sufferings and challenges. We're far more able to invite others in to experience the garden comforter as he uses us to comfort others, as he understands us because he shares our suffering and comfort. Oh, my friend, never lose sight that the Lord God of the ages, the Ancient of Days, is the God of all comfort, Father of mercies. He is our garden comforter. Well, Lord, we're just so grateful for this journey through the scriptures, the love letters to us, and this portrait of you as our garden comforter. We need that. COVID is wreaking havoc on all of us. This world is just going through so many natural disasters, so much, but you're there. Thank you, Lord, for being our garden comforter. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Hey, check out markpg.org. Till next time, seek the God of all comfort.